This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan, and we are live at Rally House in Arlington, and we're getting you geared up. Opening day is tomorrow, so come get your Rangers gear, whatever DFW sports team you want to support. They got some great LSU gear here as well. I guess that's, it's on the perimeter of a North Texas sports team, but there's still so many LSU fans here. They have a robust selection, so maybe you're getting ready to watch Angel and Kim and the ladies take on Virginia Tech on Friday night in the ladies' final four. Maybe
Virginia
you want some
Tech,
of that.
Yes, sir.
But, of course, we are Super Baseball focused. Opening day tomorrow, 3 o'clock here on your home of the Rangers. And senior MLB writer David Schoenfield joining us now from ESPN. And a good afternoon, David. How the heck are you?
I'm good, guys. Tomorrow's my favorite day of the year, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are absolutely ecstatic. Opening day at the ballpark in Arlington is always such an amazing event. We're excited for our fans. Now, they're excited about all these new players, David. What's the best you could imagine the Rangers being this year? Can you give us the most optimistic outlook you could imagine?
Well, look, the most optimistic? Look, I'd say 90 wins and a playoff spot. You know, that's certainly the high end. How realistic is that? You guys know it's going to come down to Jacob DeGrom's health and the health of the rest of that rotation. But if you're getting 28 starts from DeGrom and 25-plus from everybody else, they have a chance to contend, no doubt about it.
Okay, so let's wave the magic wand, and we're going to pretend yep. health is not an issue, right, for the starting rotation. How good do you think this rotation can be compared to some of the others in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, if they're healthy, look, I'd probably still rank them behind Houston. Seattle obviously goes 5-6 deep. The Yankees, although they have some health problems right now, Carlos Rodon's going to start the season on the AL. I would rank those three teams in some order, 1, 2, 3, on talent and high end. And the Rangers, again, if it hits, I think they have that ability to be a top four rotation in the AL. And look, DeGrom is so good. Look, if he's healthy, he's the best starter in baseball. That's been the case the last 4 to 5 years, but he just hasn't pitched enough. But if he does get you 160 to 180 innings, he improves that bottom line so much. So there's a high, range here depending on his health. But if he's, again, if he's out there 25 to 30 starts with an ERA around 2, how much does that lower the overall team ERA, right? Quite a bit. So look, he's probably the most important player in baseball this year is the way I would put it.
David, how close are the Rangers, or how have they, did they close the gap to the Astros, or is that still just a wide, wide, wide thing they're dealing with right now?
Yeah, look, most likely it's – look, what did the Houston win last year, 106 games? They lose Verlander. I get it. That's a big loss. They're going to be without Altuve for a couple of months, but they brought in Jose Abreu, so that was a nice addition. They're pretty thin. That's the thing with the Astros. If they have any injuries, whether it's in the lineup or the rotation, they're not deep. You know, their top 25, 26 guys, they're probably the team to beat. They're the World Series favorites in Vegas, but they're not deep at all in that 40-man roster. So, and look, the way I view this, too, they've had so many good things happen to them since 2017. Maybe it's just one of those years where everything doesn't go Houston's way. So I think that AL West is up for grabs a little bit.
Ooh, that is beautiful stuff right there. Holy smokes. is this gonna be the last year we got to worry about Ohtani being in our division?
Well, I would say yes. I think the odds are very slim that he goes back to the Angels. So then it's like, oh, okay, who are the teams that can afford him, right? You know, we know who those are, right? Dodgers, Yankees, Mets would certainly be the three most likely landing spots. You know, maybe there's a couple of dark horses. The Mariners maybe are one of those teams, right? They've signed some Japanese players in the past. They got a little room in that payroll if they want to go that route, you know. But, yeah, most likely he's probably not in the AL West next year.
It's David Schoenfield, senior baseball writer for ESPN, as we broadcast live at the Rally House. Tolo just stopped by with his flag, probably wants us to sign it at the break, and we will do that for you. What does what's Bruce Bochy get you if he's your skipper?
Yeah, I think – I don't know how you guys view this. It's a little bit of a wild card, right? You know, to me – look, I forget the last year he managed, 2018 or 17, whatever it was. The game has evolved rapidly just in the last 3 to 4 years. So there's a little bit of a curve, I think, for him on, you know, all the analytics. They were there a few years ago, but it's on a whole other level, even in a short time. Then you got to adjust to the new rules. You got to adjust to an entire team and a league you haven't managed in. So a little bit of a curve there. I know his last years in San Francisco when the Giants, you know, after they'd won all those World Series, the last couple of years they weren't very good. It wasn't necessarily a happy ending there. So we'll see. I'm not sold. I'll be honest. I'm not completely sold on this hiring. But obviously, he, you know, the guy's won 3 World Series. So who am I to say anything negative about him, I guess.
Well, you brought up the rule changes, and now we've had a full spring training. I guess tomorrow we'll find out when live, real, meaningful baseball happens with opening day. What have you heard about the rule changes so far? Successful? Are players liking it? Do you anticipate any issues with opening day tomorrow?
Yeah, no. For the most part, everybody loves it, even the players who initially were certainly a little grumpy, a little hesitant. Understandably, they don't like change. But everything you're hearing from spring training is most of the players are on board. What did we see? Spring training games were 26 minutes shorter on average this year. So, look, I went to several minor league games last year. It's a better game. The fans are absolutely going to love this quicker pace. My only advice, get your beer and hot dog before the first inning because you don't want to be in line and miss a couple innings in the middle of the game.
So you, ESPN, you guys put together a full-on preview for each team, and you had your realistic, bold prediction that Corey Seager and Marcus Semien could become the first middle infield duo in Major League history to hit 35 home runs apiece. How special would that be if they're able to accomplish that?
Yeah, and that's another reason to, you know, consider that this team could win, you know, around 90 games. Look, Corey Seager, you look at all the numbers. A lot of the, you know, stats analysts are saying this is the guy that's going to benefit the most from the removal of the shift. He got absolutely killed last year hitting the ball into the shift. We saw what he can do home run wise. And for me, Marcus Semien, what he hit 2 years ago, 43 home runs. We know he had that horrendous start last year. You know, he didn't homer his first, I forget, 40 games or whatever it was and still hit 27 or 28. So, yeah, look, I'd go the over on 30 and 35 plus, you know, it's in play, I think.
Pardon me, David Schoenfield, ESPN.com. Okay, do you think the Rangers were wise to jump into this rebuild they've started over the last 2 years without a lot of prospects coming in? Is that early or is that, do you think that's a viable way of constructing a real contender with good probability?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think it is a little risky because you're already into year two in these long-term deals with Seager and Semien. And let's be honest, they're not getting any better at this stage in their careers other than, you know, how the shift might help Seager. But, you know, so the question is, can you build fast enough at this point while those guys are still in their prime? You know, can you build fast enough while DeGrom is still healthy? So there's some risks, but at some point, you got to try to win. You know, you can't just rebuild and rebuild and rebuild. And look, the Rangers should, to me, view themselves as a big market franchise. They're not the Pirates. They're not the A's. You know, they don't have to worry about rebuilding. They should be trying to win all the time.
You mentioned opening day, your favorite day of the year, David. What's your favorite individual opening day of the calendar that you remember, or an individual game?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I grew up in Seattle, and there was a game, I don't know how old you guys are, they had a third baseman named Jim Presley, made the All-Star team one year, not a great player. He was a hitting coach for a while in the majors. Opening day, I forget what year, 87, 88, he hit a home run in like the eighth or ninth inning to tie it, then he hit a home run in extra innings to walk it off. So as a kid, that's always the one I remember. Of course, Ken Griffey Jr. hit a lot of opening day home runs for the Mariners as well, yeah. But I always remember that Jim Presley game.
Well, as a kid that grew up in Vancouver, Washington, I know those names well. And I used to be a Mariners board op for in like 2000 and 2001. So would your parents take you out of school early? What do you think about that whole deal? Would you go to the games?
I never remember the back then it was always a night game, so it wasn't an issue. We went once or twice. I'd always go on the second night when there'd be like 5,000 in the kingdom, right?
Nobody was much more affordable.
Much more affordable. You could cheat and slide down to the good seats, you know, back in those days.
You really hear the crack of the bat and all the echoes.
It was all metal bleachers back then. Oh, terrible. I loved it, but this kingdom was a terrible stadium. But I approve taking kids out of school. It's you know, absolutely. Have them read a book on the drive to the ballpark, and they'll be fine.
There you go. That'll get the job.
Good parenting right there.
Yeah, David Schoenfeld hanging out with us, ESPN, talking baseball. Now, we were discussing this earlier. Has David Schoenfeld, or would he, ever attend a live sporting event just completely by himself as a fan, not as a writer?
I have done that. In fact, a Rangers memory for you guys. Late in his career, I went to see Nolan Ryan by myself in the kingdom. Harold Reynolds led the game off with the base hit, and that was the only hit they would get the whole game. So I almost saw Nolan Ryan no-hitter back in the day.
What would that have been, number eight or
That's
something?
Amazing.
Dang, dude, that is fantastic.
Yep.
You got to
do
that all.
The last game he ever pitched, that was in the kingdom.
That's right.
The Mariners. Dan Howitt, a very obscure nobody, hit a grand slam off him, and that was it. That was the last batter. I think he might have walked the next guy, and that was it. Never pitched again.
David Schoenfeld, senior writer, ESPN.com, here with us. Okay, since you brought up Texas, I want to know from a national perspective, you know, we have Nolan Ryan. We had the World Series. The Astros are kicking butt, taking names. And, you know, we were pretty good in 15 and 16 as well. I feel like it's become a great MLB market. What do you think of Texas as a baseball state these days, Dave?
Yeah, I remember covering those World Series and being impressed with how loud that ballpark was. So there's no doubt Rangers fans, when the team's winning, get behind the team. You know, look, obviously football will always be number one down there. I understand that. But, look, they'll support the team. I don't know what their attendance was the last few years. Obviously, COVID, it's hard to kind of gauge that. But if they win, you know, the fans will come out, you know. But in that state, I would say there's probably a little more pressure. They're not going to show up. You know, there's some teams, the Cardinals, they always win. But Cardinals fans are always going to show up. Cubs fans are always going to show up. I think you probably need to win there to, you know, consistently draw those big crowds.
Well, to piggyback off that, David, you know, the Rangers, the last two off seasons, we've talked about it. They get Seager, they get Simeon, they get DeGrom, who was the big fish this offseason. You mentioned they got to win, which I agree with, but are they becoming more of a destination for free agents now?
Well, right, Texas is a no-tax state, right, I believe. So that's a selling point, no doubt, when you're talking about these nine-figure contracts. I think that's a little bit of a small factor for players. And, look, there's no doubt most of these guys in the off season, they live in Arizona or Florida, you know, if they're not in their hometown state. So in general, they do prefer the warm weather states, you know, these guys all golf and all that kind of stuff. So, there's no reason it shouldn't be a premier destination. But you also got to be willing, like they have the last couple of years, to pay the big bucks. You know, in the end, you know, money talks, right? We all know that. But, yeah, you know, it's a great area for players. So I think if the Rangers build a winner, it's only going to help them in the future to get, you know, better players there in free agency.
Final question for you, sir. David Schoenfield, ESPN.com. We had Pudge on the station this morning, Ivan Rodriguez. And he said he would rather win the World Baseball Classic than the World Series if he was a player right now. How much do you think other players would agree with that idea?
Well, look, this is a little bit of a cultural thing, no doubt about it. And I think we got to attempt to understand when the players from Puerto Rico or the Dominican or Venezuela say that. And they're not insulting the World Series or anything, but they have so much pride in where they're from, you know, and we forget how important these players are back in their home countries and their home communities. So they have such immense pride when they play for their country. That's why the WBC is so important to those guys. And I think maybe as Americans, we don't necessarily understand that because we grow up, oh, the World Series is what it's all about, or the Super Bowl or what have you. But other countries can view things differently. Japan, it's just as big over there. Their TV ratings in Japan were off the charts. Something like 80% of all TVs in Japan were watching that championship game. So, but I think we saw the WC pick up a lot of momentum this year among Americans as well. But, yeah, it's huge in those other countries.
Yeah, I can't wait for 2026 now. This is cool. I just hope we get more American arms involved here. And if it's that big of a deal to the rest of the world, maybe we should think it's a bigger deal. Let's try to win this thing.
Yeah, I think you will. I mean, you know, I get it. Max Scherzer, the Mets are paying him $43 million. I can see where his loyalty lies. And there's, you know, the Yankees is another example. I don't think any of their players played in the WC. Teams aren't supposed to not allow guys, but I'm sure there was a lot of under the table hint from Yankees management, right, saying we don't want you to play. So there's some of those hidden pressures from teams that we maybe don't know about. But I think, again, it got so much momentum this year. You know, the lineup obviously was full of superstar hitters. I think we will see some of those star pitchers next time around. Hey, the first one, 2006, Roger Clemens. I know he was at the end of his career, but he played in that first, you know, WBC. So,
yeah, I'm all for it, just not Jacob DeGrom. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Like, there's certain guys a Jacob DeGrom, you would probably not want pitching in that. And I remember Scherzer had a good point when he said, "I'm not ready to throw playoff type innings in March." And that is the concern, you know, that you're out there at 110% adrenaline and injuries can happen, no doubt.
Well, thanks for the baseball chat and the insight, sir. Enjoy the season and your opening day tomorrow.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks.
There goes David Schoenfield, ESPN.com senior writer. Opening day tomorrow, pregame at 2:30, first pitch at 3 o'clock. We'll be on after the game, but not before the game. What do you got, Chief?
Adam Schefter, Jonathan Hankins, and the Cowboys, one-year deal.
Boom. Nice.
There
it's
it
booked.
Is.
The run defense is fixed. He made a huge impact last year. Now go draft another one so you can give yourself some long-term security and maybe a little bit of depth. Maybe draft a badass three technique, a pass-rushing defensive tackle as well. That's exciting news. Thank you, Chief. We're live at Rally House in Arlington. We do have two $100 gift cards remaining. If you can name 11 of the 13 all-time GBAG Nation broadcast team members, you will get a $100 gift card. Also have a $25 gift card left in my pocket if you know how to win that. We're coming back with the Top 10, Bully. Where are we heading today?
In honor of Dirk and the Hall of Fame nod, I've got the top 10 NBA players since 2000. Where's Dirk on the list? Next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's on the Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Segment here is brought to you by state-of-the-art weight loss in Franklin Frankel. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck, so companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when it hurts you. Frankly, you need Franklin Frankel. Consultations always free at truckrate.com. We're rally housing it today. Your city, your house, rally house. They got all the teams in town. And you come get your gear here for opening day tomorrow, or LSU, or, you know, Mavs. They got some sick Nowitzki jerseys if you want to celebrate the Hall of Fame announcement. Whatever it is, Rally House has you handled. And it's time now for Woolchuck's top 10 at 420. Here he is, the Bully.
Let's go. Thank you very much, Medford. And shout out to my North Texas Mean Green, baby.
Our
big win over Wisconsin, 56-54, as they're going to the NIT championship game to take on UAB. It's an all-conference USA final. They hold the Badgers to 0-for in the final 9 minutes of play.
Come back like that, I figured they were playing the Longhorns.
Oh.
Too soon.
Ouch.
They know a thing or two about choking.
We got a Longhorn dad here.
I know.
On the set, man.
I like the Longhorns, too. I was just playing.
On the set, on
I was
the show. Playing. Like, we're on the set here, huh? Come on out, party with us at Rally House and get your Mean Green gear. If you missed it, and you bet I'm going to celebrate it, last night, Dave Barnett, voice of the Mean Green, on the Mean Green Radio Network, had the final call.
Toss comes to Hepburn. Pass down underneath, knocked away, picked up by Wall. Now loose on the deck, and it is going to be Mean Green winning. Time elapses as the Mean Green get a pass knocked away. No one could dive on it in regulation. And Wisconsin never gets a shot off. The Mean Green will play in the final Thursday night. They knock off Wisconsin 56-54. My goodness. Famous magic at Orleans Arena. They live to play for the championship.
Woo! Yes, we do. We did it, Eric.
Yes, we made it,
baby.
Yes, we did.
NIT final. Let's go.
Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
UNT grads, you deserve it.
It's a big moment for the program. It really
Roy
is.
White. Who else went to UNT from fan history?
Corey Majors.
Yeah, Corey. Peyton Russell.
Peyton Russell. Absolutely.
Zach Babb,
who was with us for a little bit
Zach
as well.
Zach Babb?
Yeah, Zach Babb did some TSN work.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and now he's running the board there for the North Texas Mean Green Radio Network.
Great little broadcast school. You know, whenever I talk to the elementaries, I always mention
K Tizzle.
Yes, you know, I always mention we got a lot of great broadcast schools here in DFW. Got a lot of good options.
Absolutely. So shout out to my North Texas Mean Green. Just had to give them some love in the Woolly Bully segment. Now let's get to the top 10, shall we? I got the top 10 best players since 2000. With Dirk getting elected to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. And I wonder what you guys think of this list and how high could Dirk be? 877-881-1053. Where would you put Dirk in the top 10 best players in the history of the NBA since 2000? So we're talking about the last 23 years. We start with number 10. And it happens to be a stud that is currently playing. But he already has a championship. He's already a two-time MVP. It is the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, nice. Already a top 10 player the last almost quarter century.
Yep.
I mean, if I got to draft one, I'm taking the freak. You know, I don't want to pick too many players over Dirk, but I also have to be objective in this analysis. And, you know, superstars that impact both ends and can dominate the ball and get easy looks for their team are really, really valuable in this game.
As long as they don't have Russell Westbrook ahead of Greek on this list.
I can confirm.
I feel great about
there it. There is no Russell Westbrook in the top 10.
Look at that. I'm actually surprised to hear that. I'm surprised to hear that. With all the triple-doubles, MVPs.
The stats, but no championships. And I do think championships might have a little something to do with how this goes.
It's amazing how easily we can decipher stats versus quality in basketball.
Sure.
You know, other sports, it's more difficult.
Yeah, it is. Number nine is another fellow Hall of Fame inductee going in with Dirk in a star-studded class. Bit of an enemy here in Dallas. I can't stand him, but Dirk got the best of him in 2011. It is Dwayne Wade. Now, they write, the thing that holds Wade back is that he never won an MVP, but he had several MVP-caliber seasons, and he's widely regarded as the third greatest shooting guard of all time.
Oh, that's
Finals
hogwash.
MVP, three rings are enough to put him in here.
I don't know if he was the third best shooting guard in the game during his time playing every
Ooh,
year.
Ooh, okay.
So I would really challenge that. D-Wade was a really good player. When he was at Marquette, I loved him. He had like a triple-double in a Final Four game or something crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, who is this kid? This is amazing. And then he goes to Miami, and I was just pretty underwhelmed, you know. I think he's like a smallish two-guard. Really good player, but I think comparing him to the other greats is a little generous, in my opinion.
Okay, all right.
Certainly a dude that depended on the athleticism. I think especially with the way the three game has changed, because he was not a three-ball shooting guy at all.
He was kind of like Ja. More so, like before Ja, you know, a guy that would just absolutely attack.
The attacker.
Yeah. Slash and dash.
Little mid-range game.
Super athletic.
Yeah, it was the athleticism. That was one of the things where it's like this game is probably not going to age extremely well because of the wear and tear, and he had that at the end. It was all about the knees, and he had injuries throughout his even early playing days where it was there's a shoulder, whatever it may be. So I would probably flip those.
Okay.
Probably flip those.
Put Giannis ahead of Wade. All right, good job with what you're doing there. Number eight is our guy, Dirk.
Ooh, number eight.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Comes in at eight. So this will be fun. Because we can see if we think the seven players that they ranked ahead of him, if we and we are a little biased, so we got to try and take our Dirk goggles off. Do we think that Dirk's better?
Hey, of course he is.
Comes in at eight.
Yeah.
Eighth best player of the last 23
Whatever seven names you're about to deal with.
Just bleep them.
Why?
There's a couple good ones on here.
Do you think, in all honesty, when it's all said and done, that the basketball people will have Dirk ahead of Giannis?
Probably not.
It'd probably be Giannis.
They're probably going to put Giannis ahead of Dirk, yeah.
Because of multiple MVPs.
If he gets his second ring.
And then, right. And then you assume
definitely.
He gets multiple rings.
And if he stays in Milwaukee to do it. Because he is going the Dirk trajectory if he stays there. He won the championship. Now, it didn't take as long. He didn't go through all the heartbreak that Dirk
right.
did to get there.
Watered down league compared to what Dirk had to soldier
Ooh,
through.
I like that take.
Me
Ooh.
Too.
Number seven, and this is where I have, I think, an issue. KG. Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Didn't cool. win a finals MVP like Dirk, but he has a regular season MVP and a ring. However, the main reason that they rank him above Dirk is because of the defense. He was a 12-time all-defensive player, while Dirk didn't make any defensive teams.
Yeah, but, like, you can't put your team on your back just as a defensive player and go win a championship. Like, that's something, like, Kevin Garnett does not have that skill set.
No, he had to
that,
get with
does
Paul
not
Pierce.
Have that into his game where you can just say, okay, guys, don't worry. I'm putting you all on my back, and we're going to go do this thing.
Right.
Like, and that's a much
and the one
more
time
important
he did,
skill set.
They only made the conference finals. Minnesota wasn't able to advance to the finals. What was that, 2005 with, like, Wally Szczerbiak and company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, KG was on mostly bad T-Wolves teams where he would have,
yeah.
like, one good player, Marbury or forget the other guy, the other point guard, Brandon. But, you know, once he left to Boston, he never averaged 20 points per game on a great team.
No.
Right, that's the thing.
Yeah, he contributed and put together a lot of great stats in Minnesota, a champion. Nowhere close to Dirk Nowitzki. The toughest thing to do in basketball by far is putting the ball in the bucket. Defense is great. Great. You moved your feet. You got vertical. You blocked some shots. Who can get a bucket? You
Facts.
Know, that is almost impossible for
right.
any other human walking this planet.
100%. And Dirk, for all those years, was the best player on his team, and they were consistently winning 50 games. They
right.
weren't the Timberwolves
nope.
just being a bottom feeder.
No, yeah. not at all. Number six, they've got Steph Curry, who could be regarded as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, shooters ever. He's never won. Well, he just did get the Finals MVP. And he probably should have won it in 2015. But he still was the number two option on some other championship runs when you include Kevin Durant. So they're not going to put him in the top five.
This is fair.
I think that's fine.
Yes, he's the greatest shooter in the history of the sport.
Right.
Like, there's no doubt.
Number five is Kevin Durant.
I'll take Dirk, though.
Durant, one of the best pure scorers of all time, and won two championships, even though he made the controversial move to Golden State. He's a finals MVP there. They think that he could be the second best player during the course of his generation overall behind LeBron. And but they're putting him at number five for now because you only have those two championships where he was ring chasing.
Yeah, that's the tough part there because Durant, I mean, we all know that dude is
a walking
level
bucket.
Nasty, like just straight basketball talent.
And there
it's hard to argue.
Like,
but he never put his team on it. Like, that's the thing. Like, Dirk can say that.
You're absolutely right. But I will say when we talk about Luka and Fitz and Kyrie and Fitz, Kevin Durant seems like he can go to any team and he will fit.
Yeah.
You don't have – he might be the only superstar, maybe Giannis you could say as well, but KD's game kind of matches with every team and every player.
For sure.
Yeah, and unguardable, really. Unstoppable, his technique, the way that he gets to his spots and has everything set and goes up with the same exact look on that jumper every single time.
Beautiful.
That takes such commitment. Obviously, talent's very important, but a lot of hard work and – I think if I need a bucket, I'm going to him out of anybody to ever play the game just because of the height factor. You know, that's not going to get blocked in situations. And we would see Kobe get shut down. You know, we would see Jordan have a moment where, hey, somebody is, you know, able to stop you. And I think with 2 seconds left to go, I'm throwing it to KD.
Number four is Shaq. You have three finals MVPs.
LSU guy,
too. Four rings over the course of 2000. And, yes, he is an LSU guy. And you can get a Shaq LSU jersey.
I saw it back
there.
I sure did.
Shaq's the only player that I'm sure I don't care who drafts him. He's going to end up with rings before he's retired.
Yeah.
Out of everybody to play the game, I would be most sure that Shaq would end up with rings.
Here are the top three players in the top 10 that have played in the NBA since 2000. Number three, Kobe Bean Bryant. Won the finals MVP for his first three championships. That went to Shaq, but then he ends up coming back in 2009, 2010, wins him again. Kobe, that's all you need to say.
Yeah, I have a hard time putting anybody in the air above him.
So, number two, controversial, they've got Timmy Duncan.
I was waiting.
Two MVPs, five rings, three finals MVPs.
And, loaded team. So many superstars.
I mean, he came in.
I know.
Yeah, I was never a Tim Duncan guy, obviously. Growing up and rooting for Dirk, I hated the Spurs. So you wanted to besmirch Tim Duncan, please. I'll co-sign.
Huge fan. I was probably one of the very few people in America to own his shoes in about 1998. Probably 2001. I was playing ball at a YMCA, and I got some Tim Duncan shoes. They were ugly.
I'm looking these up.
Incredibly well. It's an old Nike, a Nike Tim Duncan from like 2001.
Okay.
You want to be a big fundamental?
Was it like kind of? Was it like Penn State looking? Like kind of plain and
no. Flair. It had all sorts of weird flair and like.
Oh,
this,
did it?
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad set of shoes.
Oh. And you only, as we know, you only got two pair.
Yeah.
So that was one.
Well, I was off on my own at that point. I was buying my own shoes.
You were splurging. I love it. Okay. But number one, best player since 2000 in the NBA.
It's hard. I'm trying to think. I can't put my finger on it.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
He's been a top five player every year since at least his third season in the
Still
league.
Still take Dirk.
Four rings, four MVPs, four finals MVPs, and ridiculous stats that put him as arguably either the number one or number two best player.
You need to win a series. Do you want LeBron or Kobe?
I think Kobe.
Kobe showed up on that redeem team and says, "Boy, you guys don't know what the hell you're doing here. You think you're preparing?"
I think I would take Kobe.
You guys keep losing to Greece and Argentina and Spain. You want to kick ass and take a gold medal? Be more like me.
Kobe's
like,
the closest we will ever get to Jordan.
Yeah.
At least we've seen since Jordan.
From a mentality standpoint, for sure.
No doubt.
Okay, Cowboys Twitter. What's cooking with America's team? We're live at the Rally House. A guy just came by and won $125 of gift cards. Not only did he know what Tolo meant, but he also gave me 11 of the 13 names that have been broadcasters for the G-Bag Nation all time. Well, they like to write them down on their phones so other Tolos won't hear them and steal their names.
Oh, I got you.
But, yeah, he actually had 12. He was showing off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here he is right here. He wants his flag signed.
Sorry, guy.
When we come back, G-Bag Nation, what's on Cowboys Twitter? That's next here on 105.3 The Fan. Well, thank you very much, Alec, in for Lucius. It's time now for some Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team. Da-da-da. There's a little bit of a breaking news situation as Jonathan Hankins has agreed to terms with the Cowboys. I thought he was going to wait until training camp or maybe beyond, and maybe that was his plan until the Cowboys said, well, how about $1.5 million for 1 year? That's, you know, not a lot of money, but it is more than minimum, and he's got himself a deal, and the Cowboys have themselves a nose tackle that went a long way towards shoring up that run. You give me him, Van Der Esch, and Donovan Wilson on the field together at the same time, I'm pretty confident Cowboys are going to stop that run.
I will say this, going into this offseason, I didn't think that Stephen Jones and Adam Pacifica and those guys, I think they've had a hell of an offseason. I really do. I mean, I think they had a checklist of guys that they wanted or how they wanted to handle this offseason, and I think they've executed beautifully. The way it started with getting Donovan Wilson done, that thing sounded like at the combine that was not even close.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they get that done. Then they get Van Der Esch done. Then out of the blue, Stephen Jones at the comp makes a trade with Chris Ballard at the Colts, you know, good friends there, probably talked about it at the combine, maybe even on the bus. And now, I mean, this was one of the last ones that they were looking at, and now they can go draft.
And they're trying to get Carlos Watkins
still. And Watkins doing too. And yeah. It's so funny, but, you know, Stephen, Adam, those guys have had they've done a hell of a job.
Who are their good DTs? Okay, you have Hankins, you want Watkins back. Do you hold spots for Osa and Quentin Bohanna and Neville Gallimore?
Osa, you do.
Osa's the only one.
The thing that you want, and Todd Archer and I were talking about this the other day, and he makes absolute sense of this. The thing with Hankins is big body guy that knows how to play. Bohanna, big body guy that doesn't know how to play yet.
Same with Neville Gallimore now.
Neville Gallimore, we've given him chances,
right,
though. That's what I'm saying.
It's just not good.
You move on from that, but you're kind of hopeful that Bohanna can learn the game like Hankins has over his years of playing.
Yeah.
You know, that's I think that Todd made a great point about
that. The one guy they've kind of seemed to find something with, and he really peaked towards the end of the year by kicking him inside at the beginning of the season, but it took a little while, was Golston. Chauncey Golston, I think, also has given them a little something inside of the tackle.
Okay, I like the sound of that, Chief.
As a penetrator, I do like that. Well, I just was curious, do you have much in the way of critiques at all for them for this offseason? Because I know that you – I mean, overall, it's been a really good offseason. Are you going, like, perfect?
No, I mean, to me, my expectations were, they're going to get Jake McQuaid done, and then they're going to go draft. You know? I wasn't expecting them to get guys done. I wasn't expecting – Donovan
to keep
Will-
everybody
no,
in at Gilmore.
No. Yeah.
I mean, they did mess
Gilmore
up.
Gilmore Cooks?
They probably did mess up on the Tony Pollard thing. You know, but they wanted certainty at running back.
There you go. If you want to go through, and I think there's guys over there that would admit they didn't want to be in the running back game.
Yeah.
But you get coaches that are saying, well, wait a minute, how are we going to function without Pollard? You know, it's the same thing that I'm sure that Dan Quinn stood up on the table for Donovan Wilson. Hey, how are we going to play? That was one of the things that they were talking about going all the way back to, like, the Senior Bowl, the Combine. Didn't Donovan Wilson done? And as you heard the narrative coming out of Indianapolis, it's not even close. And they narrowed the gap. And sometimes it's about the coaches say, hey, we'd like to get this guy. I think that's what happened to them on the running back.
Okay.
I think that's what happened there.
There's another thing on Cowboys Twitter. Hankins, the big one. Earlier, Adam Schefter had tweeted the race between Herbert, Hurts, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson is on. Talking about the race to get deals done with players for teams. Because if you're at the end of that line, you're probably going to give your guy $5 million more per year than the guy who signs first. Or it's possible, $2, $3, $4, $5 million more, as every agent's going to try to push it forward a little bit. And if you wait a year, it could be even more. When you get into the 2024 offseason, a ton of new TV money comes in. So they talk about those four guys, but this really impacts Dak. And that's why I bring it up for Cowboys Twitter. You know, all these deals are going to push his value up. And I don't feel like Dak and his agent really want to do a deal with the Cowboys before all of these are done. I think time is on their side. The big money comes in.
They've proven that.
If Dak and his agent were wanting to do a deal to help the Cowboys, they would have done it already.
Yeah.
The Cowboys told us when they restructured, we can't get a new deal done. So I don't think Dak and his agent are coming off their position at all, that we're extracting absolute maximum value. I think all of these will get done, and then Dak will be like, okay, now it's my turn. What's the number? Is it 50? Is it 52? Could we have gotten to 53? Could we jump to 60 with all the huge TV money coming in 2024? Somebody's going to push it there for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, that's happening. And I think it very well could happen with Dak, but it's going to happen with guys before Dak for sure.
Yeah, I mean, right now you've got the Herbert negotiations going on. The Bengals are going to try to get Burrow done. The Eagles, the owners' meetings have said that they've already started talking with Jalen Hurts. All these contracts are going to get done. And that's why behind the scenes, I do think that the Cowboys are probably trying to talk with Todd France. And that's why they keep saying, like, hey, we hope we just wake up one day and it's done. They don't want the whole media frenzy that went on for years leading up to it the last time. But it's, again, just like we talked about it when they kind of dragged their feet on it previously and had to pay more. If you do plan on extending Dak Prescott, it's better to go ahead and do it now before these other guys get signed.
Yeah.
And offer him $5 and $250 right now. It'll probably end up saving you $50 million.
I hope that of all the guys that you just mentioned, I hope the last one to get it's old Hurtsy Hurts. Not the most expensive. Yeah, because
yeah.
Then his will be the highest
yeah, I like
dollar.
That.
So please wait it out. Play the long game, Jalen. You're going to get your bag, I promise.
I think the thing about it is what terrifies me is not the Cowboys. What terrifies me is Todd France.
Yeah.
That's what terrifies me. And give him credit.
He's good.
He held it, and you know what? The Cowboys, you know, they did what they did to get it done. They went on the short. I wouldn't be surprised they go on the short again.
Mm.
I really wouldn't. I would say, hey, listen, we can't get something long-term done. Maybe we're going to go on the short. And Todd France might agree to it to give Dak another opportunity to get another contract in 3 years or time, you know?
Best quarterback in the conference. He might deserve it. We're live at Rally House in Arlington. One $100 gift card sitting here in my pocket. If you want to come win it, you know what you got to do.
What do I got to do?
You know what you got to do. You've been listening to the show, haven't you? We got 2 hours to go.
I don't know.
Take that shirt off and give us a live in-person truffle
shuffle.
I'm not
good at listening all the time. But all right, you said it.
You're not listening.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.